It's the Faith Radio Network. I'm Dr. Bill Meyer. Are boys getting the short end of the stick in our culture, at least when it comes to encouraging them to pursue things like math and science? It sure seems that way. Joining us to weigh in on this is Heather Wilhelm. She's a weekly columnist for RealClearPolitics.com and a senior contributor at The Federalist. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning.
You recently wrote a very insightful and, I must say, very witty article called Defending Boys in a Girl Power Age. And the article was based in part on an experience you had with your own sons at a live stage show. Can you tell us what happened?
Yes. So I have three little boys, and like many kids across this country, they are wild about a show called Wildcrats, which, if you're not familiar with children's television, it's on PBS Kids, and it features these two enthusiastic brothers named Martin and Chris Kratt, who like to teach kids about animals and the outdoors. This all sounds great. They also like to, you know, encourage kids to get into science. So they tour the country in a show called Wild Kratts Live, and they bounce around the stage, and they have some goofy animals that come with them. And I took my kids to the show down here in Austin, Texas. And everybody was having a great time. It was everything as it was advertised. And then there was a strange moment in the show, and I should back up. So in Wild Kratts, basically, Martin and Chris, who are real live brothers, in the show, they turn into cartoons, and they have some cartoon friends. One is Aviva, number two is Cokie, both young women, and the third is Jimmy. And midway through the show, apropos of absolutely nothing, there were, you know, robots flying around, bad guys flying around, Aviva sort of pops out and looks at the, you know, she's a cartoon person on a screen, and she's staring at this huge audience of little kids, you know, both boys and girls, and she yells out, you know, girls are great at science. And I sort of paused, and there was sort of a strange, you know, maybe a moment of an awkward pause in the audience. And then, you know, everyone gave some obligatory applause because they thought that, you know, sure, girls are great at science. But it was this strange moment. I looked around me. I looked at my three boys. I looked at all the boys around me, which is easily, you know, 50% of the audience. And what a strange thing, right? I sort of nudged my son and I said, you know, hey, you know, boys can be great at science too. And, you know, at that point there's robots running around the stage and he sort of gives me a, okay, whatever, mom, nod. But after this happened, you know, I've noticed more and more there's these girl power messages all around our kids in the media and the culture. And in a strange way, it's starting to marginalize boys. And it's obviously well-intentioned and it's obviously trying to help little girls, but it's very interesting how our culture can't quite seem to find moderation here. Why can't we say, you know what, kids can be great at science. It doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl. So that was a rather startling moment in an otherwise innocent kids show on a Saturday afternoon.
I understand the male character in the supporting cast, Jimmy, looks suspiciously like that goofball Shaggy on Scooby-Doo.
Yes, he does. And he also has, he also likes to snack a lot. So, you know, I don't know if this is a coincidence. He seems a lot like Shaggy. And, you know, if you go to the PBS Kids website, they describe these three characters who are the friends of the Wildcrats in the show. Here's Aviva, who's one of the girls. She's a cool, fashionable 20-something who is well on her way to becoming the most accomplished inventor this planet has ever known. Cokie, the other girl, is an accomplished computer whiz with a sharp tongue and an even sharper wit. So you've got these two cool, competent girls. And then there's poor Jimmy, who is, according to PBS, quote, insecure, hesitant, and unsure. That is, until he gets a video game console in his hands. And I mean, if you watch the show, it's really over the top. I mean, Aviva and Cokie are competent. They're cool. Those are that you want to be like them. And Jimmy's sort of slumped in the corner, you know, snacking. And occasionally he has moments of glory, but very rarely. And this has become common in the media, right? I mean, you've got the smart girls and sort of the clueless boy. And you watch your kids watching this stuff and you wonder how much of it they're, you know, how much of that are they taking in?
Well, and it's not just the smart girl and the clueless boy. Oftentimes it's the smart, competent woman and the clueless man. If you look at many of the sitcoms that are popular today or have been in recent years, even many of the television commercials, you kind of have this stupid guy phenomenon where, and it blows me away sometimes how men are portrayed. And I can't help but think about this, Heather. You have an intact family, but there are so many kids growing up without dads, so many boys in this country growing up without fathers. And so they're looking for positive male role models. And what do they see on television? They see shows like this one. They see commercials with the bumbling, idiotic father. They see sitcoms where the mom is constantly having to rescue the, you know, insipid, clueless dad. What is that teaching these kids who have no positive role model in their life?
Well, it's funny. I had a friend of mine who goes to church with me come up to me after church after I'd written this article, and she has two boys and a girl, and she said, you know, I can't tell you how much I appreciated that article. And she said, you know, what's so hilarious about this and so ironic is that, you know, these empowered girls, I mean, if they were to follow the prescription that they see in the media, these empowered girls are going to be working 80 hours to support their husbands who don't do anything, right?
Except play video games and snack, right?
Yeah, she's like, good work, feminists, you know? I mean, I don't, you know, it's hilarious, really, it would be hilarious if it wasn't so sad. But, you know, it seems like there's this subtle message, you know, that boys are slackers, and it's very strange. And also, you know, in my column, I mentioned Disney is very, intentionally or not. And again, I do think that all of this is well-intentioned, but I think it's rather clueless. You know, if you spend a Saturday watching the Disney Junior Channel, and as I mentioned in my column, I don't recommend you'll do this because your brain will quickly liquefy. But they have this new promotional campaign, and it's called Dream Big Princess. And like anything Disney, right, it's ingenious. You know, it's a great big commercial for Disney products. But it's this promotional ad, and you can look it up on the internet. It's fascinating to watch, and there's this inspirational music. They compare real life girls with the Disney princesses, and they are basically saying, girls, you can do anything you want in your life. You can be a scientist. You can be a karate master. You can travel to the moon. You can run for president. And again, it's kind of hilarious to see three young boys sitting in front of this basically infomercial for the greatness of being a girl. And you got to wonder, where are the boys here? This is so crazy. You know, boys, it's not that hard to say both boys and girls can achieve their dreams. And yet somehow we haven't quite gotten there yet.
Now, you mentioned in the article that even Chevron and Brawny paper towels have gotten into the act here.
Yes. And, you know, Chevron is very big on encouraging girls to get into STEM, which stands for science, technology, engineering, and math careers, because, you know, people are concerned that girls are underrepresented in those careers. Now, I mean, we could have a whole other conversation as to why that is. But again, there's this very high-profile ad campaign that shows a bunch of genius girls changing the world through technology. And the tagline is, girls do remarkable things with STEM. Again, I would think if you're a boy watching this, the question in your mind would be like, well, what about me? What about boys? Huh? Can boys not do remarkable things with STEM? Should we just hang it up? You know, I mean, the message to an impressionable kid, the message of these campaigns, you know, and again, they're all over. And I talked to one of my friends who has three girls, and she said, you know, Heather, I never really noticed this. And I read your, you know, because I mean, if you have three girls, you're thinking, hey, this is great, you know,
yeah,
good,
sure.
You know, giving my kids a boost, wonderful. And she said, you know, after I read your column, I've noticed it everywhere. And the message that our kids are absorbing, and I think this has gotten into the public schools too, is that girls are special. And, you know, girls deserve special attention. And that's just crazy. You know, that doesn't do anything for girls, and it certainly doesn't do anything for boys.
Now, our culture, once again, is doing what they've done in the past with other issues. They're going overboard, attempting to right one past wrong by engaging in something that could be just as damaging, and this time to boys. How much responsibility lies with the radical feminist movement here?
Well, you know, I've written a lot of articles that basically could all have the title, How Feminism is Ruining Your Life. You know, I really think, you know, it's interesting. I don't think this should be that hard. You know, it's 2016. You know, if you're a woman and you dream of being president, go for it. Great. But the feminists, it's this weird irony, right? And they're in their quest for being, you know, for trying to teach women to be empowered, they're actually quite condescending. And you'll see this, you know what, if girls really can do it, why do we need to tell them 16,000 times a day, right? Why do we have to, it's, if we're really at the gender neutral stage in our culture, why are we obsessing on one gender over and over and over again? So I think the flip side that a lot of feminists don't realize is that this is really, really condescending, that you feel like you have to constantly be telling girls, hey, hey, you know, you can have a career too. I think at this point in 2016, everyone pretty much knows that, you know, and by the way, if a girl wants to be a mom, that's great too. You know, she shouldn't feel invalidated for that. So I think we're seeing a lot of feminism gone overboard in our culture these days. And by the way, I consider myself, I don't use the word feminist because I think that there's a lot of craziness attached to that word. And I, you know, I cheer a girl if she wants to have a career or if she wants to be a mom, but that's the problem here, right? We can't seem to have moderation in our culture. We have to go crazy off on one side of the pendulum.
We're talking to Heather Wilhelm. She's a weekly columnist for Real Clear Politics and a senior contributor for The Federalist. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on the Faith Radio Network. Welcome back. It's Dr. Bill Meyer here on the Faith Radio Network. So great to have you with us. My guest this hour is Heather Wilhelm. She's a weekly columnist for RealClearPolitics.com and a senior contributor at The Federalist. Heather wrote this incredible article, which you have to read at RealClearPolitics.com. It's called Defending Boys in a Girl Power Age. Heather has three young sons, and she's concerned about the fact that our culture doing one thing which is good, and that's encouraging girls to pursue fields like math and science, which perhaps in the past was denigrated. But the problem is, it's not encouraging boys to do the same thing. And Heather, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we're starting to see some statistics in our culture that more and more females, more and more girls and women are pursuing higher degrees and education, and fewer and fewer boys. If you just look at, let's say, the number of students in master's degree programs around the country, I think it's now around 65% female, 35% male. I'm wondering if this has something to do with the fact that these messages have been out there for a while.
You know, and with this column, I received so many emails about this column, you know, much more than the average column, and I think it struck a chord. And a lot of the emails were from people who worked in public schools. I heard from gym teachers. I heard from sixth grade English teachers. I heard from librarians. And they said, you know, I see this in my school. I see this in the curriculum, that boys are kind of squelched and girls are encouraged. And so I think we've gotten to the point where this has become such a cultural trend that it's getting into the public schools. And I'm sure that that has to have some sort of, you know, a harmful effect on boys if you're even being told in school from authority figures in ways maybe that are subtle and maybe ways that are not so subtle that girls deserve that extra push, girls deserve that extra attention, and boys, you know, stop wiggling in your seat. but I can't tell you how many emails I got about this from people who work in public schools saying this is not just a problem in the culture, you know, in the media and the advertising worlds. They said this is a problem that's literally baked into the curriculum in some cases.
Now, let's go beyond the educational achievement issue and just talk about character. We have a lot of, and I mentioned this before the break, we have a lot of male characters in television shows, in cartoons, and even in television commercials that are incompetent, shiftless, irresponsible goofballs. And the female characters are the, you know, super smart, competent. They got everything together. And oftentimes they kind of have to put the guy in their place. I'm guessing that can be a really big negative when you are a little boy growing up in a fatherless home and your major role models are what you see on that screen in your living room.
Yeah, I think that's probably true, you know, and I think what this helps put in perspective, right, is we've got to start at the community level, and I think celebrating positive male role models, and by the way, again, positive female role models, you can do them both. It's not that hard. You know, celebrating both males and females for what they do, as opposed to being so gender obsessed. I think that's part of it, right? Because I think when you see these characters on TV, it was part of a backlash, right? It's the backlash against, you know, Leave It to Beaver. Oh, how horrible, how dated. We have to do something fresh. Oh, let's make the man look like a, you know, look kind of like a dunderhead for once, just to, you know, it's a swinging pendulum. So absolutely, I think, you know, celebrating strong male role models is incredibly important. But at the same time, I think what we just need to strive for is balance, right? I mean, we're all God's children. We're all human beings. And I think that just striving for that balance of encouraging both boys and girls, as opposed to becoming so gender obsessed and trying to triumph one over the other.
Great point. You can read more of Heather's work at realclearpolitics.com and The Federalist. And Heather, before we go, I want to mention a great organization that you were involved in. It's called Opportunity International. Just give us a thumbnail sketch of what they do.
Opportunity International, they're based in the Chicago area, and they are a microfinance organization. So they provide small business loans to entrepreneurs in countries across the world. In 2007, I actually had the privilege to go with them to Ghana, in West Africa, to see what they were doing. And it was a tremendous opportunity. In case anyone's interested, they host insight trips is what they call them. And you can actually go see the work that they are doing on the ground. And we saw people in immense poverty who had taken the initiative thanks to this loan and were building community banks and supporting each other and, you know, basically starting to build their own business and build their own self-sufficiency. And it's interesting when you go over there, you can see too that this is so strengthening for the community, and people banding together, trusting each other, and managing their money and building self-sufficiency. It's a remarkable organization. I highly recommend everyone check it out. And it is a way of using free market forces to help the poor. It's really been, I think, revolutionary around the world.
Now, we've talked to guests before about the microfinance, microenterprise loan programs that many nonprofits are getting into. Can you explain the difference, just as you see it, between that type of a program and simply giving people a handout and giving them more stuff?
You know, I think it's interesting. You mentioned to me when we were talking before that you had talked to people from the Acton Institute, and they're based in Grand Rapids, and they're big promoters of free market policies and faith. And they had an ad campaign a few years back, and one showed a picture of a bunch of old T-shirts, and it had a quote from a child in Africa that said, "Please stop sending us your old T-shirts." And the reason they said that is because literally the only industry in their area was a textile industry, a clothing industry. So, you know, well-intentioned Westerners were actually hurting people by giving handouts, right? And it's these things you don't even think about. So that's one thing. You know, I mean, the best solution to poverty is a job, right? The best solution to poverty is self-sufficiency and being able to take care of yourself. And so giving a person the means to start their own business and to support themselves, to support their family, what a gift, right? It's so much different than just, and obviously, you know, the poor need help all around the world. And I'm not going to denigrate, you know, giving people aid as well. But what's unique about this is that it's sort of the teaching to fish philosophy as opposed to, you know, giving someone a fish, I would say.
And of course, the other aspect of that is God's design for human beings, and that we were designed to have meaningful work. We see that from Genesis forward in Scripture. And we also know that having meaningful work and contributing back to society and to supporting one's family gives a person a sense of meaning and of pride and of being fruitful. And that's one of the things that, that organizations like Opportunity International are doing. So kudos to you and the folks at this great organization for what you're doing.
Oh, well, thank you. They're doing great work.
Well, Heather, thanks so much for your time. Once again, let me steer people towards your columns at realclearpolitics.com or The Federalist. Do you have your own website, Heather?
Yes, I do. And it's heatherwilhelm.com. It's W-I-L-H-E-L-M. And if you want, you can sign up to get my columns in your email at that website as well.
You will be enlightened, and you will also laugh a lot by reading Heather's work. Thank you so much for your time today, and may the Lord continue to bless you in your work.
Thank you.